right. Well, I'm going to ask the kids and the leaders to come on up here to the stage. And like I know there were some of you that didn't get to go that are youth leaders, so you guys come on up too because you're a part of everything that happened. So, all right. And Sean, have you got that microphone back down here? Oh, it's over there? Okay. Hey, Aaron, would you grab that mic out of there? Yeah, just turn it on and I'll let you pass it to whoever ends up first. You know, this is really maybe my favorite service that we do. Oh. Yeah, that's good. And part of the reason why is because, you know, it's, I love what Timothy says, what Paul says to Timothy when he says, you know, don't let anybody look down or despise the fact that you're a youth, because, you know, you've got a lot of things that are important that the church needs. And, you know, our kids and our young adults and our youth, they've got that fresh, clear commitment to Christ and that energy that the church needs that. And when I think about all the things that if I'm really gonna, I guess, be honest about what I think, there have been a lot of changes that have happened in this church that began in the youth. And they started living that out, and it kind of spread over to the adults. And the adults started realizing, you know, hey, they may have a little more energy to get up and run and do things, but there are things that God wants us to do too, and we get up and move. So this is always one of my favorite parts. I hate it that Jonathan's not here to kind of mediate it, but really what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask the kids, you know, anybody who's got something to share, we're going to just pass the microphone, and we're pretty much going to just let you or our youth leaders, if they want to, just kind of share your hearts of what God has been showing you or what God has done in your life. So we're just going to open up right in here, and whoever is brave and ready to share first and break the ice can kind of raise their hand, and we'll get the microphone to you.
Definitely my biggest takeaway from this winter retreat was definitely listening to God and having and putting my faith in Him to just give Him all of my burdens and to have faith that He takes those and forgives me of those and comforts me. And also something that I took away from the Lord is just to listen to His voice in the moment and to obey His commands in the moment and to just give everything to Him in every situation, and that He is faithful to forgive us.
That's good.
I just wanted to say I'm thankful for Tracy and Kathy and Jesse. They should be up here. I got to work in the kitchen with them, and they were very... they were awesome leaders in the kitchen. And Brandon Horn got to work in there too, so we all laughed. But so I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for how the Word of God changes us. And I see that even in our small group this morning in Sunday school, how... so many of our young people know the truth. They know Scripture, and I can tell that's why they have a different life. Is because they know Scripture, and God changes it, changes you when you read His Word. I'm thankful for the power of God's Word because it is alive. It's got the power to save our souls, and I never want to take it for granted, because there have been, in the past, I have taken the Bible for granted, just didn't think about it. I'd always had a Bible. And growing up, my parents took me to church and read the Bible to me, but I still took it for granted. And I do not want to ever take it for granted for the rest of my life. It's a gift. It's changed me. I'm so thankful. I thank God every day that I have the freedom to read it, and I can see how it has changed the lives of so many kids in our youth group. It's so awesome. And I just have to say some about Allison Petty. She's my girl with the Bible. But she's like, she gave me the best compliment of my life one time. She goes, "You're such a Bible nerd." I'm like, "Thank you." Anyway, so thankful.
That's not really one of the kids, that's my wife. She looks young though, doesn't she?
One thing that I learned, this is my first winter retreat, and I'm just, first of all, thankful for the family that I've been able to grow here. But one thing that I learned was just that hope is not just some wishful thinking, but it's this concrete belief that God will do what he's promised us, and that all of those Bible stories, they're true, and they're not just stories. And God can do anything, and he's in my corner, and he's fighting my battles for me.
Good.
All right. So something that I've go into winter retreats with a lot. I don't even know how many I've gone on at this point. I've been going since eighth grade, and I'm 25 years old now. So, but something that when I started doing leading that I always went in with was this feeling of inadequacy and not like I'm ready to do it. And this last year, I felt like God had really prepared me. And he also helped me with a great group of young men who were very ready to listen and were hungry for it. And it was amazing to be able to experience that. But something that I took away from the weekend was the what the law stands for, what the law really is. And the something that always stuck out to me was I was always trying so hard to like just focus on not doing things so much that I knew I wasn't supposed to do, that I was not really doing what it was I was supposed to do that God had called us for in the first place. And I'm not even gonna try to quote the verse. I'm just gonna kind of cliff note it because I have a terrible memory. But it was basically, the law was in place to remind us that we need God in order to keep it, basically. It was basically there to let us know, like, hey, you're never going to be able to follow this in the first place. And it just showed me how much I needed God and how much God isn't a disciplinarian. He's a father. And just trying to remember that God's not out to get me, I guess, is the process of, you know, transitioning over to being a full disciple. So that was a big lesson for me this weekend.
Good, good.
This week, it was my first, I mean, not this week. During this winter retreat, I didn't know what to expect because it was my first winter retreat. And during those couple of days, I was able to open up my heart a little bit more and see God.
Good, good. Isn't that what it's about? Continually growing closer to God. Oh, what happened at the retreat?
We did not sleep.
There was no sleep, okay. Anybody else kind of want to give a little overview of what the retreat was about?
Basically, the winter retreat, so you were more asking because you don't know what the winter retreat is, or? Oh, the scheduling? Basically, we go up Friday evening about 5:30, and then we have like a full weekend. We come back Monday morning, and we have a breakfast and a devotion in the mornings, and then we have a message that Jonathan gave. And then we, after that, we have a small groups that are all set up afterwards, and we just kind of discuss for an hour about the lesson or something or other than, basically, it's just free time until the next lesson, which is that evening. And then we go to bed and do the same thing the next morning. And like she said, there's not a lot of sleep happening. But, yeah, that's about basically what happens.
And
Sunday night, this is actually the most important part, and of course I forgot it. Sunday night, we have a full sharing time. We don't really have a lesson. We kind of just open it up to the floor, and kind of like what we're doing right now, the kids and the leaders get to share about what's going on in their hearts and opening up to God. And a lot of the time, amazing things happen on those nights.
How many of you had fun on the winter retreat? Okay. How many of you enjoyed the devotion time that you had on the winter retreat? I'll ask a tougher question. How many of you, that was one of your favorite parts of the winter retreat, was the devotion part that you had? Okay, less of them in there. How many of you enjoyed the small groups? Basically what it is it's set up in order to get them in an atmosphere where they can concentrate on God's word and talking about it and thinking about it. And so there's fun things to do, but there's other camps where you go where there's a lot more just mindless fun things that you do, which we all enjoy that, right? But I think what our kids like the most about it is that they know when they go up there that they're going to have time alone to think about important things that God wants to speak to them. And that's really how Jonathan tries to organize it to have those times available. Anybody else? Oh.
One thing that I learned during the winter retreat is how much God loves us and what he'll do for us. And I just want to say that I'm thankful for everything that he's done for us during the winter retreat.
Thank you.
One thing that was very convicting to me was, I don't know what night, it was the night of when Hope's, was that Saturday? We went over Hope. We just talked about faith and living by faith and everything. And we were going to worship, or going to the message. And I saw Cash. He was in the back sitting with the leaders. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go sit by him. So I sat by him. And it was all the way in the back. And I couldn't see anything. Because I prefer sitting closer to the front. Because there's just less distractions for me and everything. And so I asked Cash. I was like, Cash, why do you sit back here? And he said, well, before I walked in, I prayed where God wanted me to sit, and I felt like he was telling me to sit here. And it was just very convicting for me, because the night before we just talked about faith and living by faith. And it was just like he praying about little things like that. That's what we all need to be doing. We need to be praying always pray. I'm not in that constant state of prayer like I like to be, where God is leading my every step, and Cash just resembled that in that instance, and it was very convicting for me. So.
Okay. This is kind of different than what everybody else has said, but so I am the oldest in my family, and some clarifying questions. Cash is my brother. Aubrey is my cousin, so I have family members here. But I think one of the best things for me about going to winter retreat as of recently is my family has been old enough to come with me. And I know we have a lot of older siblings here, and when your younger siblings come, that's kind of like, do I want them here, do I not? It's kind of weird. But it's been such a blessing to see them grow in their faith and just see the impact that God has had on them. And I'm just so grateful to be older than them and in that position to see them growing. So that's all.
Going into winter retreat, I had a lot of doubts about who God was and was he even there. And so after the weekend, and especially in small groups, I realized that he was there and he was never going to leave me. Thank you.
Okay, I know y'all want to hear from the kids, but I have a little story. Friday night, I was leading and in our small group. It didn't go quite like I wanted. And Saturday morning was very, very similar. So I asked my co-leader, Jules, if she wanted to lead Friday or Saturday night. She said yes, and I would gladly turn those responsibilities over to her. Well, Saturday night rolls around, and I read through the lesson Saturday afternoon, so I was a little bit prepared. Jonathan did his little lesson for us, and it's time to go to small group. I didn't take any notes, didn't prepare. And I find out immediately before small group, Jules got sick. She couldn't do it. So I'm walking over to where our small group meets, and what am I going to do? God was gracious. He said, let them lead. So I walked into the room. I said, it's all up to you guys. I want you to lead tonight. Everybody that was in my little group, small group, stand up, will you? Please. They led. It was the best ever small group. I thank you guys very much.
All right, I'm going to attempt to unfold myself here. So this was my first winter retreat as well, being one of the newer, maybe the newest youth leader up here, I'm not sure. I was really looking forward to the weekend just to kind of get to know everybody, start to try to figure out, you know, a place to fit in with the group. Really enjoyed it. One of the things I was really impressed with this group in particular, as opposed to groups I've worked with in the past, was just, like, I didn't have any problem finding somewhere to go during any of our free time slots. Like, I would walk through the building, and just in the process of walking through the building, would get invited to join three different groups or several different conversations. So it was really nice. I felt really welcomed. That was great. One of the things that was interesting, wasn't really planned, that was a lot of fun, which I'm not sure how many of you guys know it wasn't actually planned, was I ended up doing games over the weekend. I had originally planned to do like one little slot of games on Saturday, but since the entire field turned into a slush pit, we basically ended up doing games indoors and ended up doing them before every chapel session. So that was a lot of fun. I had a little bit of my equipment with me and had to stretch my imagination to figure out how to do games with anything except a bottle of teriyaki sauce. So that was a bit of a challenge, but one of the things I really enjoyed was we really tried to focus in on doing some games that had usually some kind of an object lesson tied with it. And I love being able to see for each of these guys, you know, just seeing that moment, that click, that aha moment where all of a sudden they're like, you know, seeing how this applies to their life. I'm thinking of one game in particular we did where I had them divide into three teams. One of them, you know, I had one brave volunteer put on a blindfold, and I put a bunch of obstacles throughout the room. And the goal was, I told each of the teams, I said, you have to guide them across without running into anything. And it was a, you know, really, you know, echoey kind of room when you have about 50 kids in there, you know, shouting a million different instructions. You can imagine the chaos that ensues. But something interesting happened. They actually had no problems whatsoever. Usually when I lead that game with groups, I mean, it's just absolute chaos. You have people running into walls, people tripping over objects. And the whole point of the game is they're supposed to learn that, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard. There's a lot of voices that they're hearing throughout their day-to-day life, and you have to really pay attention. But here's the neat thing. The team, at least one team came out first, and then the others joined in. They circled around the person with the blindfold, and they walked through the room no problem. And I asked them about that. I said, was that hard? Because that's usually what I'm expecting. And the people who were blindfolded said, no, it was actually really easy. I'm like, why? They said, I had a good team around me. They circled around them, and they couldn't even hear. They couldn't tell what else was happening outside of that circle because all they could hear was people speaking truth into their lives, showing them exactly where to put the next foot, how to make that next move. And then after that, it didn't take long. All of a sudden, you could see they kind of caught, oh, wow, my life's a lot like that. And it was just neat to see that bonding point there and many others with our other games. But that's something I really enjoyed watching this weekend was just all those aha moments, seeing people click and say, oh, wow, that applies to my life.
That's good. Anyone else? Allison?
So, okay. I wasn't sure if I should share or not, and I was thinking about it. And this morning in small group, Miss Robin was like, Allison, I think God's leading you to share. And I'm like, okay, I guess I will. And so I shared something different on Sunday night, but I really felt God talking to me about worship. I don't know if Jacob said anything about worship, but one of the best things for my weekend was we did worship every morning and evening, and like the songs we did were just different, and it was just great being in like a smaller group of just the youth, and it just felt like a taste of the kingdom of God, and I just felt really close to God. And one of the songs, I don't even remember what the song was called, it was talking about God's blood, and it says your blood covers, you know, everything. And one thing it says, it rewrites my destiny, and no, it's giving me a destiny, it's rewriting my history. And I felt like that, I don't know, that just spoke to me a lot, because I love that we have a God that's just so forgiving and so merciful, and that, you know, he gives us a new destiny. He rewrites our history not only once, but he does it every day and all the time. So I'm just there, very thankful for God's love through that.
That's good. That's good. Okay, I'm going to give you one last chance if anybody else wants to speak. Here you go.
Okay, so I came into Winter Retreat, I guess, in kind of the wrong mindset. Me and my mom were on the way to the church Friday, and I was just kind of complaining, like I was tired, I had a headache, I just didn't want to really go. But then I got there, and everything kind of started to change, and I realized that it was a good thing that I was there, and I'm actually Sunday night sharing time, I shared that I would like to fully commit and be baptized. So that's happening. And
well, that probably was the perfect one to end on, but Tim's going to talk anyway.
Well, I think I would be remiss if we did not tell you what kind of leader we have in Jonathan. You know, the question was asked in the back, and we talked about faith, hope, and love all weekend, and even somebody like me, you know, I didn't know, you know, these are all tied together. You know, you're not going to have one without the other. You know, when they build on, you know, our hope is built on our faith, and our love is built on those other two. And Jonathan preparing to go to Uganda, but he also prepared for Winter Retreat. He led to Winter Retreat. He had to give a 30-minute sermon three or four different times during Winter Retreat and lead that. He led the music. He led a small group. I'm surprised he wasn't in the kitchen cooking, because he did everything else. And just to give you an example, come here, AJ. We're coming home on Monday, and I've got AJ sitting in the front seat with me, and I've got Kanan and Ethan Hughes in the back seat of my truck. And, of course, it snowed like the Deacons on Sunday night, and we're trying to get home on Monday morning. And a little bit of ice on the roads, and Monica had to stop and get gas, put it in her van, and we're all following Jonathan, so we all pull over at the gas station at the same time. And you know, I'm just sitting in my truck. We're all sitting there, and Jonathan gets out of the church van to go put gas in Monica's van, and he's at the gas pump. You remember what you asked me?
Yep.
What'd you ask me?
Can I go throw a snowball at him?
Yeah, AJ wanted to see if he asked me, Mr. Tim, can I make a snowball? I was like, have at it. So he jumps out of my truck, and he's making a snowball, and he's like, who should I throw it at? And I said, Johnson's over there. Well, I said, well, what do I need to do? I said, well, sneak around this way and see if you can surprise him. Well, AJ's going to be a good soldier one day, because he didn't do that. It's frontal assault all the way. He runs up to Jonathan and throws his snowball. Did you hit him the first time? I think you missed, didn't you? He missed the first time. Well, he comes running back across the parking lot back to my truck. I thought, well, this is over. No, he's making him another one. Another frontal assault. He's running right at Jonathan. Jonathan's standing there like this, right? And what did you say you thought he was doing?
I thought he was trying to give me a hug.
Yeah. So Jonathan is standing there, you know, grinning at AJ running at him. And so next thing you see is them giving one another a big hug. What happened after y'all gave one another a hug?
Threw a snowball on his back.
Yeah, he nailed him. He nailed him with the snowball and then comes hightailing it back over to my truck. And I thought, that is such a perfect picture of the leader that we have. After all that work, all weekend, the kids love him enough that they're so close to him. It's his first winter retreat. He can go hit him with a snowball, and Jonathan's loving it. You know, it's such a family. And, you know, we get to see it every Sunday, every Wednesday, and y'all don't get to see that, but Jonathan is such a good leader. You know, we all have our faults. I know organization is not his greatest skill, but that's not why he's up there. It's because faith, hope, and love is why he's there.
Thank you. You know, we talk a lot about in here about how God's plan of evangelizing the world is the church. It's not individuals communicating the gospel. It's the church and the way it lives and loves and the atmosphere of kind of a shadow of heaven that's in the church. When we started, I think I was youth leader here 12 years ago. And we started working on forming that atmosphere. And you notice here, we don't do anything to try to attract people in. We don't advertise. We don't even have a sign out front that's got messages for people or whatever. But you are the tool that God's going to use to communicate who he is to people. And when people come in here, they should sense that there's a different atmosphere. There is a different relationship between these people, and they want it. And when we first started that, you know, we started trying to form that godly community with the youth. And when we would come up here, and some of the youth leaders, you wouldn't believe how long some of these youth leaders have been here. Some of them longer than me. And we would talk about how when we would get up to share, we'd be at rental retreat and the kids are focused on the Lord, and we had people getting saved and getting baptized. But when we came here, all they would talk about was each other. All they talked about when they did this sharing time is how much they felt loved by people and how good the thing was. And I want you just to think about what each kid said in here. Nobody talked about that. They all experience it, but that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about what God meant to them and how they see God in a clearer way. And that happens in an atmosphere of love and trust and just serving one another and loving one another. And these kids, they do that. We have kids, like we've told you before, we have kids who go up there, and Cash was an example of that, that are thinking about how might God use me in somebody else's life, another kid's life. Who should I sit by? Who am I going to talk to? We got kids here who sacrificed lots of their free time writing encouraging notes to people that they felt God had put on their heart. And they're seeing that God's got a purpose for them. What they do means something for the kingdom of God. God can use them. They want to love like God loves. God works in an atmosphere like that. And it's been amazing to see what God is doing. And I think we need to be grateful for it. So let's just close our eyes and bow our heads. And for just a moment, I want you to just let the Holy Spirit let you just soak in what you've seen God do. And there may be someone here that is thinking, you know what? I'm like what Barbara was talking about when she shared her heart of thanksgiving for God. I've been in church, but I didn't really know or understand the relationship with God that Jesus Christ died for me to have, and I didn't really understand. I can be in a family with that kind of relationship. I didn't really understand what salvation was or what God was offering me. And maybe God is speaking to you to open your heart and to let go of this world and step into his kingdom. And maybe you're like me, that you've done that a long time ago, but every time you hear the truth of God, you see it a little more clearly. And God is speaking to you and saying, hey, you can have more out of the life that I created you for. I've got a greater purpose for you. You need to follow me with more reckless abandon. Quit trying to save your life. Let go and love. Let go and let me fulfill my purpose for your life. And I'm just going to give you just a moment just to converse with God, and then we're going to close. Father, this world is full of illusions. It's full of things that we think can make us happy and secure and fulfilled, accepted, loved. But there is no reality outside of you. In Christ, we are made complete. And without Christ, we are always headed to the realization of how empty our lives and meaningless our lives really are. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for all the times we've chased those shadows, and to open our eyes that we could clearly see that you are the center of all things. And when we center our lives on you and seek you first and your kingdom, you add everything to us. We are your creation. We are your children. And we surrender our lives to you in gratefulness for what Jesus Christ did to buy us back from a life that ignored you and rejected you. Thank you. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.